Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
That is a great question. And by the way, Shane Reardon, good get on Trent Dilfer.
Trent Dilfer.
I've been watching every single snap of the Bears offense. I do a radio show out of Chicago.
Dilfer picks up.
Kid, and you played baseball and you learned they put it on a tee right there in front of you so you could hit it. I don't know how it could be much easier for Perry Phoenix than this ball he gets thrown by Trent Dilfer.
Double minus.
Trent Dilfer with
the radio show out of Chicago.
That's right. That's right. You don't say our name to Colin Cowherd on a radio show out of Chicago. Forgets us when he gets all big again. I get it when he's on Monday Night Football, but I mean, God, unbelievable.
I deserve all that and more.
Trent Dilfer did not see that coming.
You want your good intro back, Trent Dilfer. You owe us a Dan Patrick show, a Lebatard show, yeah. A Cowherd show. You owe us a Parkins and Spiegel, or at the very least, the score. You owe us now.
I got Russillo and Hurd. I got Hurd tomorrow, Russillo next week. I'll make sure to shout you guys out.
There we go.
Parkins and Spiegel show.
And then we can deliver back the good vibes that we know you need. So please just recover if you can for this segment.
That was awesome, you guys. That was great. I deserved that. I thought it would actually be longer. I thought I was going to get like 90 seconds of the 127 interceptions I threw in the NFL.
Well, mess us up this week on the Hurd, and we'll see what happens. Might not even ask you about Justin Fields. We'll just ask you to go over each interception you threw. What were you seeing here, Trent?
The problem was not much. That would be the answer.
Oh, God. Well, so I don't know if you can see us, but...
Yeah. For once, yeah.
Yeah, blew out the balloon budget here. We're having a QB1 party, and I'm wearing an orange boa.
I got the Justin Fields Forever t-shirt on. The whole town is smitten here, Trent.
We are so excited to have one of the most exciting players in the NFL play quarterback for the Bears. How did he grade out this week? Welcome to the QB1 party, by the way.
Yeah, you guys look great.
Thank you. Danny Parkins, Matt Spiegel look great, by the way.
Three double pluses, seven pluses, four minuses, and the best thing is this 2 weeks in a row with no double minuses.
Wow.
All right. We got ourselves a quarterback, boys.
So no double minuses, Trent. He hasn't been intercepted in four of the last six games. No interceptions.
No fumbles either, which was huge.
You can see he doesn't put the ball in harm's way either. So there wasn't much to give a double minus in two games in a row, none, huh?
No, I played really clean. My notes as I went drive by drive, like the first clean, there were no pluses. You could argue that some of those were, you know, exceptional throws, but, you know, doing his job. But I just put super clean. Again, he had the one that kind of came out of his funny to Claypool on the second drive. That was a minus, but he follows it up with that incredible scramble for a first down on third and eight. So that's a double plus. Obviously, the touchdown was a double plus, and going through it. I thought the Mooney touchdown throw was a double plus because the pocket collapsed in his face. If you go back and watch that one where he throws the inside fade, beautiful throw to the left corner, he's also getting the three technique in his face, and the left defensive end is kind of collapsing down on him. So, you have to have done that to know how hard it is. It's one thing to be accurate on a fade in a clean pocket. It's another thing when you really can't see it, you're anticipating the area you're throwing it, and people are falling in your lap. So that was his third double plus there.
So that touchdown, Trent, we have Justin talking about it after the game, exactly that play you just described.
I mean, yeah, that's just man-on-man matchup. You know, the guy over him, he was already inside leverage, so Dante did a great job, you know, protecting, you know, the safety from the ball. And, of course, we had great protection up front. So really couldn't ask for, you know, a better play call in that situation. And, you know, kudos to the guys up front, you know, protecting their butts off all day.
And that's Xavier Howard. He throws it over. He says Dante protects the safety. So what's he's seeing the other wide receiver come in and pull the safety over? It all worked out together.
Yeah, it was a really nice concept. We call it a spin concept. Number three inside kind of spins out on the fade, and you activate one and two in man coverage. He's being gracious. The protection was not great. He kind of threw him open there by getting him to the outside shoulder and throwing it away from the inside leverage man defender. So I just thought it was a phenomenal throw considering the circumstances. I thought he did a lot of other really good things. It's hard to quantify how frustrating it is for a defense to have to defend a pretty well-planned out passing game on third down. I'm not saying it's dynamic, but it's well-planned out, as well as the quarterback's ability to make something out of nothing. There are times where everybody's covered, and he somehow finds a way to get a first down. He does it multiple times in the game. I didn't count the exact number, but they all became plus plays because they became chain mover runs. When those runs are chain moving, meaning you convert downs, it gives you three more opportunities. And what we're finding is when he's able to convert first downs with his legs, they lead to scores in those drives. Most of the scores. And then you should probably have somebody do this, like go through the game breakdowns. And on plays where he converts a third down or has a chunk run, they're scoring in those drives, which is a huge thing. Like a lot of teams can get a first down here or there, but it's hard to put consecutive third down conversions together, march the ball and punch in the end zone. And the Bears last couple of weeks have been able to do that because of Justin's ability to create.
A cynic would say, Trent Dilfer, that these running plays are amazingly exciting, but not sustainable. What would you say to that?
I think it depends how much you use them. I think, you know, they ran power for the first time, which it's a great run. It, you know, QB power, they call it flip power, read power, is a great run. It's an A to B gap run for their quarterback. Those are dangerous runs. They can split it, like they can pop, but they're dangerous runs. I wouldn't want to see a ton of that. The zone reads aren't real dangerous. The arc ones, I don't know how to explain it, where you're meshing with the back, reading the backside end, and you have an arcer coming across to kind of protect the alley player. Those aren't real dangerous because you have that arc blocker to kind of protect the immediate mesh kill, you know, teams that want to go blow up the mesh. So those are sustainable. You just have to formation them and motion them and shift them to disguise them every week. But the power stuff scares me. And then, you know, a lot of his runs are coming off the nakeds. Like his ball handling's amazing. He takes that one third down where they're going to naked out and he sees that he's got the edge and he lets the receiver block for him. He goes and gets 14. He has another one that he pulls down instead of throwing it and goes and gets more yardage on the run. They get the big touchdown to Komet, where it's a naked boot. And I thought Trent Green did a great job explaining the naked concept and not sealing the backside and how the fake is so important. So a lot of this stuff isn't high risk. You don't see him taking a lot of hits. He's getting down. I saw him slide a couple times when he knew he was going to take shots. So I'm not from the school that it's not sustainable. I think it's very sustainable if you're judicious with it.
Yeah, you told us about that difference with QB power versus what they're doing for the most part with Getsy. And Justin Fields only took a hit on 5 of the 15 runs. Everything else was a slide where he went and got out of bounds. Or, you know, so he really does take care of himself out there when he gets wide, Trent. It seems like he knows that message has gone through.
Well, yeah, and I talked to Ryan Day also about it. He did the same thing in college. He didn't take a lot of unnecessary hits. He's been doing this a long time. Justin Fields has been the biggest, baddest dude for a long time and has been running around making plays with his feet. And although he's very powerful and a big man, he could, if needed, lower his shoulder and get a couple extra. He knows that's not what he's paying to do. He's being paid to do. So I think he does a great job with it. I think you're only going to see more creativity coming that direction. They mentioned that they've been studying the Ravens. Really, it's Mark Roman everybody studies. I forgot his name a couple weeks ago when we were talking about. But Mark Roman with Kaepernick in San Francisco was really the one that kind of took some
Greg
of this.
Greg Roman.
Sorry. I don't know why I said Mark. Greg Roman.
Yeah, all good. All good.
Really took the stuff from Chris Ault, who was the Nevada pistol guy years ago, and kind of poured some gasoline on it. So it's good stuff. It's very hard to defend. And then the passes off it, what you haven't seen yet, what you will see, is some of the action passes off of it. So there's some really good play actions off it because it kind of flattens the line of scrimmage. And you stop defensive linemen from penetrating. You kind of flatten them out, and they're playing their gaps because they don't want to leave a gap short in the run game. So there's some great opportunities to throw the ball down the field too. I thought the best thing Justin did outside the one unbelievable run for the touchdown, which we can talk about too, because he wants to throw the ball to Mooney. That was not a pump fake. He was trying to throw the ball to Mooney on that. Mooney turns up, and if he throws it, it's going to be picked. And then that's why he gets the guy in the air and then outruns the whole defense. But he was so decisive with his throws. Like outside, I had two minuses, a third and eight to Henry down the left sideline. And then there was another one late in the game. I think it was the second to last drive. I thought he should have given his receiver a better chance, like a back shoulder, a helmet shot. But besides those two throws, he was super decisive. Like, it was quick. It was twitchy. The ball was thrown early. He wasn't waiting. I thought him passing, the handful of times he pushed it down the field, was really good.
You mentioned the ball handling. On the play fake with the boot that he throws it to Komet for the touchdown, It reminded me of Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah.
How about Boomer Esiason, Steve DeBerg?
DeBerg.
Wasn't he great at that?
But it wasn't something that we saw like in weeks 1, 2, and 3. It almost feels like you have to have such confidence and like swagger to be able to like, I can turn my back to the defense and do it. Like, or am I wrong there? What does it tell you about where Justin is at comfort-wise to be able to execute something like that so smoothly?
I agree with what you're saying, but I think there's one other thing to it. It means he's working on it. It means he's identified something when he's handing the ball off. And I'll give you a Peyton Manning story here in a sec. But
okay. He's
studying himself and saying, what does it look like when I hand the ball off so that when I make it or boot, I want the defense to think I'm handing it off. And it goes back to Peyton Manning. I thought Peyton Manning was the greatest ball handling quarterback of all time. And Boomer was great. And DeBerg was great, but to me, Peyton on that stretch zone stuff was just unbelievable. And what he would do, because a very good friend of mine coached him, and I was in Tampa at the time, and I was trying to get better at some stuff, so I'd call my friend and be like, what's Peyton doing? And he would tell me, and I'd go to work at it, is he would create a 10-play cut-up of every day's practice, or he'd have a GA do it, quality control guy do it. And 5 would be handoffs, and 5 would be play fakes. And Peyton wouldn't know what order they were in, and then they would all freeze right before you found out whether they were handoffs or play fakes.
Ooh.
And it was a great way of studying, you know, self-scout, studying himself. So he would work every day on making sure that whether he was handing it off or whether he was play faking, it looked exactly the same. And I was probably in my, I don't know, fifth, sixth year. And it was amazing how much it helped me. Now, I was never great at it, but it was something to work on, you know, and it really, you could see the impact it had when you did it well, the impact it had on the defense. And I'm guessing, again, I've not talked to Justin, but I'm guessing he went back and looked at, because they're handing it off a lot now.
They
lead the league in rushing. So he's handing it off a lot. So he's got a lot to study. And if you're going to be a run action team, then you need to get your play fakes down really solid and not to give the defense any tips on what it is.
That's good stuff. I wouldn't be surprised if Luke Getsy was working on stuff like that, or Andrew Janoco was helping him work on stuff. We've heard some incredible stories about technology that Getsy has used to teach guys the install, did it with Claypool this week, stuff like that. Like overall, everything that they've done since that mini buy and have adjusted, and Eberflus gets it too. I feel like the coaches really understand what they have, and they're trying with scheme to set Justin up in good position. Does it feel like that when you watch what they're doing now?
It really does. And I think we said it a few weeks ago. I said, I really like what Getsy's doing. I know we're not seeing results, but you could see in the multiple personnel groupings, multiple formation shifts, movements, creativity with misdirection, even some of their pass concepts that they love, they run a lot. They mix up different ways of doing them so the defense doesn't know what's coming based off formation and personnel. They've done a really nice job. I mean, they're not dealing with a full deck right now. So you're having to really, you're having to duct tape it together, for lack of a better term. And I think they're doing a really good job with it. I really like Getsy. I like what they're doing. I like the foundation they're laying. I like the Claypool trade. I think it gives them a big physical presence on the perimeter and a guy that can make plays for him. Mooney just keeps getting better. Komet's a really good player. Both backs are good runners. I do think the offensive line is playing better. Like, I don't want this to be the whole year, well, they suck. You know, we said they sucked in week 6, so they suck in week 17. That's, you know, you can get better. You can develop. The league is a developmental league. The more you play together, you're going to get better. So I did see signs the last couple weeks of better pass protection. Now, Justin makes that a lot better, obviously, because he makes guys miss in the pocket. But there's a lot of things to be excited about the Bears right now.
Talking to Trent Dilfer, Parkinson Spiegel on the Score. He seemed to pre-snap check a few times, audible a few times, maybe just signal one thing to Mooney, hey, you go do this, and not everyone else knows it, but he decided pre-snap, hey, I'm going to go to you because I see something. Are you seeing the same thing?
Yeah, it seems to be more command. That's the word I would use. He has a greater command of what they're doing. There's a plus early in the game. I'd have to go through my sheet, but he throws a little quick pass to the left to Claypool, and Trent Green comments on, hey, when you're playing the Dolphins, you got to be ready for these side adjust throws. They're basically overloading the protection or the run if it was an RPO. They have an extra player at the line of scrimmage, to simplify it. And there's kind of this nonverbal, like, hey, if this guy comes, I got to throw you that little walk-off. I thought that's a veteran thing. Not everybody can do that. I've been around a lot of third, fourth-year quarterbacks that can't process that. They don't understand. They can't look at the line of scrimmage and go, he has him, he has him, he has him. They're going to combo to that. Oh, that guy's free. So he understands what's going on with the offensive line and their responsibilities for him to make adjustments. I do see him doing some kill can stuff, meaning, you know, can, kill, kill, kill. We can run it. We can't run it. Changing the play. There's a little bit of that. He's changing the snap count up a little bit, which is hard for young quarterbacks to do. So there's a lot of positive signs. There's some graduate stuff here. Relative to where he was just a few weeks ago.
He mentioned after the game, Trent, that, you know, because a lot of us have been wondering, whoa, boy, the addition of Claypool has really changed the gravity. It's affected the way the defense plays and stuff like that. But Justin mentioned, and I hadn't realized it till he said it, that they didn't double-team Claypool. They didn't have Xavien Howard follow Claypool around, who's clearly their number one corner. So I don't know, is Claypool the kind of guy that's going to dictate coverage and affect a defense like that? Maybe not. I don't know.
No. That stuff becomes – there's only a handful of guys that create that type of attention, right? Most defenses are going to run their systems, game plan against what usually the best ones try to take away whatever the quarterback does best. They're not really overly concerned with a guy unless it's an elite perimeter guy. I think Claypool's a really good player. He's a big physical presence. He'll be really good in the run game. They value blocking in the run game with the receivers. He's a big body to win some of those one-on-one kind of 50-50 balls. He has good run after the catch because of his physicality. But no, he's not a feared guy. I guess that's the easiest way to say it. This is an arbitrary number, but, you know, 10 guys that are feared in the NFL outside. He's not one of them.
How would you defend Justin? Because they spied him yesterday for a while, and we laugh at that because nobody's as fast as Justin.
I wouldn't play man. I think all right. So when the Lamar stuff, well, really when the Kaepernick stuff came in to vogue and we were seeing some of these college concepts hitting the NFL. What I used to say when I was doing this for a living was what the ultimate net of all this is it gives the quarterback more defined looks in the secondary. You're going to get training camp coverage cells because you can't play a lot of the combo match coverages and man coverages and also defend all this stuff in the run game. Or if you do, right, then you're subject in the drop back pass game for the quarterback running. What has happened to Lamar when he struggled? What happened to Kaepernick when he struggled? Other guys that, you know, they kind of lead with some of this quarterback-driven run game is when teams play super soft, flood zones, drop eight, are very passive in the secondary and don't give you these defined looks and don't let you scramble. Because really that's where the gashes come, right? The touchdown was a pass play that he scrambled on. The zone reads got him for what, 14, 8, 6. You know, that you can live with that as a defense. What you can't live with is the home run run. And the home run runs have come on quarterback creating during a pass play and then scrambling and outrunning the defense. So I think if I'm playing against Justin Fields, I'm playing way more zone. I'm playing what you call monument defense, where guys drop into areas that are monuments with their eyes on the quarterback. I would get deep in my drops to take away all the chunk throws and make him show that he can dink and dunk and get to his third guy, a check down, get to a crosser. Like, that's when you face those types of defenses and then some pressures off of those where they disguise soft zone looks and then bring the heat, that's when you know they're defending the quarterback and not the offense.
Next 5 years, who's the better football player, Justin Fields or Lamar Jackson?
He asked me next 10. He asked me next 10 years, and I took Justin because I had the back half. One.
Yeah. I mean, I love them both. I really do. They're very, such unique bears. I'll say this. If I'm going to go with Justin, it's just the physicality. If you notice, he's not just fast. He's not a sports car, right? He's a muscle car. He's a Ford Shelby. He's not a Maserati. Like, Lamar's a Porsche. He's a Maserati. Justin's a Shelby Mustang. Like, he's got 700 horsepower and it's steel. You know, it weighs, you know, 2,000 pounds. Like, he just has the power along with the speed. I think he's going to be more durable. I think, although I don't love to see a ton of it, he's going to bust some QB powers for 45 and run through arm tackles. And his ability to get out of stuff in the pocket with his strength, not just with his athleticism, is going to be nearly impossible to defend.
That's so good. Couple things on specific plays real quick Sorry. Before we let you go, Trent. Texters are saying, and N'Keal Harry admitted that he converted his route on that third down on the double minus. So that wasn't a Justin mistake. So you can take away one double minus.
No, it wasn't a double minus. It was just a minus.
Just
so that's
a minus.
Three.
Oh, that's right.
So
no.
Now we're 3-7-3.
Okay. And then I loved the last play of the game when he scrambles but stays behind the line and chooses to throw an absolute dart to EQ St. Brown, and it's on his hands for a fourth down conversion. And that decision, and Danny, you pointed out, he goes up to St. Brown at the end of that play and picks him up, right? He has his back and says, that's all right, we got you. I mean, that's beautiful stuff, even though it didn't succeed, that play.
So that's interesting. It was the last play, obviously, and I've told you guys this, I watched the condensed version on NFL Network, and they don't do a replay of it. And I was trying to pause the pause button to see if it hit him in the hands or not. And when I pressed the pause button, everything got blurry. So I couldn't tell. It looked like a great throw. I put great throw.
Perfect. Perfect.
On my, I didn't know if the DB got his hand in there or not. So I agree. That was an absolute rip shot right there. And he it seemed like he had supreme confidence as he escaped with his eyes downfield. And Steve Young used to say this all the time. He said he was at his best when he attacked the line of scrimmage in a throwing posture. And I thought that was brilliant. Like, Steve Young, one of the greatest ever lived, said, I would try to attack the line of scrimmage, but I'm in a throwing posture because now I know I have them. They either got to go cover or I can go run. And I'm always in a position to make a throw. And that's exactly what it looked like with Justin on that play.
Next 5 years, who's the better player, Justin Fields or Justin Herbert?
You guys love this stuff. I don't know. I said this. I said this a few years ago, and I got laughed out of the building, and I kind of want to go back to Polian and all these guys that laughed at me. I said, we're getting ready to embark upon the greatest generation of quarterback play we've ever seen. This is probably 7-8 years ago, and I stand by that. I mean, and by the way, there's more coming, okay? So C.J. Stroud, Bryce Young, like, we've seen them all. This will be the greatest generation of quarterbacking you'll ever see. And Josh Allen, Mahomes, Herbert, Fields, Tua, Burrow. Like, I can go, and Rodgers, now he played like crap yesterday, but Rodgers is still going to play well. Brady's 78 years old and still playing well. I mean, there's just a lot of really, really, really talented players, and offensive coaches are getting better too. So you're seeing the creativity, you're seeing the talent at quarterback, you're seeing it from the time they're 16 years old. I know I'm getting out of the question, but there's just going to be a lot of ones, and it's going to be who's playing better that year. I think that's going to be the discussion. Hey, we love Herbert, Tua, Fields, Burrow, Lamar, and Allen, and Mahomes. Like, those are the guys. Everybody thinks they're the best. Well, who's playing the best this year? Because that's who's the best is right now. But next year it might be the other guy. So
I just want a guy in the conversation.
You'll get one. You have him.
That's why I'm wearing a boa. It's the Parkins and Spiegel show. Tell our guy Colin Cowherd.
670 to score. 670 to score. I got it.
Oh, okay. That'll work. All right. See you, Trent. Thank you.
I might call you like Sarkins and Peagle or something like that just to screw with you.
That's fine.
That's fine. We got more interceptions. Don't worry.
Yeah.
Yeah. See you guys.
See you. That's Trent Dilfer. Jalen Johnson joins us at 5 o'clock. Says we got one. Says you got one who's going to be in that conversation with the best quarterbacks. To come. Great stuff, as always, from Dilfer. Conversations brought to you by global biotech company Horizon Therapeutics, where our mission to transform patients' lives is personal. Cole Kmet, Matt Eberflus, more from an open locker room reacting to Justin Fields' performance. Sounds like a Bears report with Mark Grody next on The Score.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Good morning, Mark Rowe.
Good morning, Jeff and Tom. Just gorgeous down here on the sideline today. How about Matt Eberflus today? Came out on the field at about 8:30 this morning, just had his cup of coffee with him, wearing his street clothes. Took him a little while to get on the field, though, because security stopped him and made him check his credential. Once they figured out who he was, everybody had a good laugh.
the anonymous head coach of your Chicago Bears, Matt Eberflus, not recognized on the streets of Chicago or at Soldier Field before Bears and Dolphins. Mark Grody gets recognized on that sideline, though, and he's here with us for a Bears report. Welcome to the QB1 party, Grody.
Oh, man. It feels like, guys, everything is back on the table again, because when Justin Fields was first drafted, the party was nonstop. Everything was on the table. And then we went through this long period, like all of last year and a few games this year, where it just felt like there was some gray area. There was some insecurity. And there still is gray area with Justin Fields. And we still don't know if Justin Fields is going to be better than Lamar Jackson, as you guys are pushing with poor Trent Dilfer, asking for all those comps. My God.
I just wanted to, you know, just pull quote, headline. No, he used to work at ESPN. He knows how the game is played. It's okay. I was just joking around with him.
No, it was wonderful. But everything feels like, to some degree, is back. Like, you're back in the right direction. You got out of the traffic jam. The traffic is moving smoothly again. And we'll see if Justin Fields is able to get there. And the experience for Matt Eberflus, watching the film today, there was, just like you guys are having right now, there was a day after glow. Let's listen to everything that Matt Eberflus said today after watching the film of Justin Fields.
Yeah, just the athleticism, you know, and really the timing of his passing game was great. I've always said this, his deep ball passing has always been good. He's always thrown those very well. The intermediate passing is getting better. His pocket presence is getting better. And then the unscripted athleticism, you know, the plays that he showed, obviously with the 61-yard run and the keepers, and really his discernment and his wisdom to be able to get down. You know, I know there was one where he had an inside run and he slid right after the first down marker. That was excellent. And he limited his exposure in there, which I think is an important part going forward. So being wise that way.
Yeah, you mentioned that Fields will get better at the intermediate routes, and you've been saying for a long time that he's good at the deep ball.
Yeah.
Are the intermediate routes trickier? Is he just that much better at deeper routes, in your opinion?
Well, I just think that what comes to him naturally, he's naturally a deep ball thrower. I mean, the guy throws it on a dime. That's a skill that I think you have to have or you don't have. And I think that with the intermediate passing, he's really improved on that, you know, because he's learning the offense, because he's having better pocket presence, because his timing's getting better, because he's getting more comfortable. And he's learned to do that. And Janoco and Getsy have done a nice job with that. So, a credit to all those guys.
Boy, Mark Grody, it seems like Matt Eberflus is one of those defensive coaches who not only understands the value of a quarterback, but speaks it pretty well. You know, like he's very involved in terms of everything that's going on. We know they let him into the meetings, which is a nice touch.
He's that coach. He's got a key to the room.
Yeah, but no, like he gets it, though, on the quarterback level, doesn't he?
He really does. And, you know, one thing that is a fact is that for defensive coordinators, and I've talked to a bunch with the Bears through the years, I've talked to defensive coordinators for the opposition before, there is no bigger pain in the ass for a defensive coordinator or for a head coach, quite frankly, going into a game planning than a quarterback like Justin Fields, who obviously is blossoming as a thrower, but he's there as a runner. You know what I mean? Like he is, and that wasn't a perfect at first. I mean, there's a lot of stumbly times, I thought, with Justin Fields' running last year. But we're seeing in these last 3 weeks that he is there in that regard. And that is a pain in the butt for defensive coordinators like Matt Eberflus in his former life to deal with. That is a headache. And Matt Eberflus knows it. And he also knows that as a head coach, that while he is defensive-minded and hits principle and this defense has got to get a whole hell of a lot better, he understands that his life as a head coach is going to be in sync or matched up with whatever his quarterback does. And so he better know a lot about the quarterback. He better know a lot about how intermediate routes work as opposed to deep routes. I mean, he better become an expert in offense and in quarterbacks in, you know, while he is here, if he's not already, because that is the life, that is the lifeblood of any NFL coach these days, is having a competent or good or maybe even star quarterback.
He had 60 catches last year. Through nine games, he's only got 19, but he's got three touchdowns in the last 2 weeks after zero last year. Cole Kmet seems to be coming into his own in the passing game. How was he afterwards?
You know, he was probably, besides Justin Fields, one of the most interesting guys to watch from the sideline perspective, just because we know that that guy plays with anger. We know that guy likes to drag people and hit people and be physical. But the sounds of Cole Kmet yesterday were just devastating, especially before his second touchdown in the fourth quarter where he gets that first down. And I asked Justin Fields about that right after the game when I was doing my one-on-one with him on the network. And I was asking about it. I said, what about that first down? And he interrupts me and he goes, oh, you mean the one where he trucked the guy? I was like, yeah, that was the one. Like, he made his place known yesterday. It is getting better for him, the two touchdowns. And so that was the angle I was taking with Cole Kmet right here.
Is that the most comfortable or productive you felt in a game?
Yeah, no, definitely, you know, in terms, obviously in the red zone being used like that and being used off of, you know, run action and all that stuff, and, you know, getting handoffs, playing quarterback for a play. So, yeah, definitely unique. And I think, you know, we've been figuring this thing out, you know, dating back to OTAs, and we're still continuing to figure this thing out, you know, with everybody involved, figuring guys' strengths out and things like of that nature. So, yeah, a lot of fun yesterday, you know, for the offense. And obviously, you know, we got to finish it out there at the end, but, you know, a lot of creative things going on for sure.
With having the touchdowns you've had this year, do you think back to last year? Mm-hmm. How did I not have a...
No, I don't. I've moved on from that. No, I've moved on from that. Yeah.
Whoops.
Good job.
Didn't
want to
hear about that.
Good job.
No, but it really, guys, it really does surprise me when you look at how effective he has been in the red zone this year on a few touchdowns. Like how? I mean, how? And it wasn't a shot at Cole Kmet necessarily. That how did you not scheme that guy into the end zone one freaking time last year, considering what it looks like when you do it right with your big, strong tight end?
They had to throw to Jimmy Graham.
His whole career has not had enough targets this year. I mean, yesterday he was targeted six times. That's his season high. He's averaging under three targets a game, 26 total. Targets on the year for Cole Kmet. So when you see him run, he runs hard. I loved Fields telling you that. Oh, yeah, the one where he trucked him was awesome.
Him, yeah.
But, like, you know, Kelsey, Ertz, Mark Andrews, they're all way over 60. 17 targets for Travis Kelsey last night, you know?
Yeah, it's unbelievable.
So, you give Cole a chance. I think he's got some stuff.
And, hey, I'm not saying, like, Cole Kmet deserves 17 targets or even double-digit targets throughout a game. It's just he has not been – I feel like he hasn't been utilized properly. Hey, if he's got three targets and they're all in the end zone, that's the way you use a big, strong tight end who is not a guy who's going to be a superstar tight end, but that's the way you maximize a guy like that.
What else we got, Grody?
Let's get into the defensive side. Somebody had to speak for the defense today. They brought Trevis Gibson in, and the first thing I asked him about was, what about the Roquan Smith effect and not having Roquan around anymore?
Roquan's a great leader, great person, even better teammate. So, you know, obviously his presence not being on the team was felt. But, you know, we have young guys. Jack Sanborn, he came in first start, and, you know, he did tremendous. And he has things he has to get better at. I have things I have to get better at. As a defense, there's things that we have to get better at, but, you know, it's just a matter of putting those behind us and, you know, taking the things that we can to get better out of those things. You know, I feel like we hold each other accountable. You know, we come in, we watch the tape, you know, we, like I said, hold each other accountable and we point out the mistakes that we made, and it's really just a matter of executing the call and playing it at a high level. And I think, you know, we touch on those subjects, I think it'll be a different outcome the rest of this year.
Matt Eberflus yesterday, Mark Rohde, said that he liked where Jack Sanborn was in the run game, said he noticed that live, looked like he was in the right spots, in the right gaps, said he needed to watch the film. What did he say today about that? Did he talk about him in the coverage at all?
Yeah, I mean, I think that Sanborn has got a ways to go still, but you could tell that mechanically he's got it down. He's a smart player. He's a sound player. But, yeah, I mean, there's going to be areas that he's got to get better in. Seven tackles yesterday, and he seems like the type of guy who can learn and is very obviously very coachable. I mean, you better be coachable if you're an undrafted rookie in that locker room. So, yeah, I don't know that Jack Sanborn is the future of the Bears linebacking core, but he's one of those guys, one of many that we've been talking about, that pop up and say, what the hell, give this guy a chance, let's see what he can do. Why not? Because this is what the season is about. More on the offensive side of the ball, but the defense side too.
Yeah, Danny's upset that I invited Jack Sanborn even to the quarterback one party.
Yeah, it's a QB one party. I don't really know why we're talking about the defense. I know. I mean, Jalen Johnson's welcome at 5 o'clock because he's awesome, but Jack Sanborn?
All right. How about Velus right. Jones? Is Velus Jones going to get to go to the QB one party?
Yeah, no. Man, that's a great, like, so earlier this week, I was talking to Velus Jones Jr., whether Danny wants to hear about Velus Jones Jr. or not, and we were talking about kick returns, and he was saying, yeah, I'm looking forward to getting back out there because the winds, I heard, are going to be crazy, and that might give me a chance to have a few run backs because maybe not every football will go, you know, 10 yards into the end zone. And so I was pretty sure that meant that Velus Jones Jr. would be back there returning kicks. He was not. And, you know, Matt Eberflus talked about the fact that this is a – well, you know what? Let's let you hear from Matt Eberflus on Velus Jones. Here he is.
What's going to take to get Velus Jones Jr. back on the field?
Oh, we'll look at the roster. You know, we'll sit down. I'll sit down with Ryan today. And the coordinators will sit down later today, and we'll look and see what our roster looks like in terms of with – the injuries that we have, and then what best suits us going forward for each position, and what our plans are for each guy.
Oh, boy. That does not sound good. And, guys, I mean, think about it. Byron Pringle. Now, I don't know how they're evaluating Byron Pringle, if they like him, don't like him. I mean, obviously he's had an extremely slow start even when he was healthy, but it feels like Pringle would be next man up. So I don't know. I mean, that sounds ominous to me. Velus Jones Jr. might be getting some, I don't know if he's going to be inactive in every game, but something tells me that they are sort of taking a new approach with Velus Jones, not giving up on him, but just doing something, you know, Spiegel, it's like when you put a guy in the sixth inning of the bullpen instead of the eighth inning. You know, they're going to just put him in positions that he can absolutely win, even if it means being a healthy scratch.
A.J. Klein played 6 snaps on special teams, not Velus, you know? And N'Keal Harry over Velus, and obviously Dante Pettis. Yeah, this is what it looks like when somebody's pretty close to being a bust here early. It's very early, but pretty damn close.
Yeah, I can't go bust yet on him, and the only reason is, or there's probably multiple reasons, he did miss a good chunk of training camp, and I have seen in my years covering the Bears that when a rookie gets off to a stumbly start because of injury, sometimes within that year, they never recover. Hopefully it's just within this year, and maybe he will recover. Maybe we will see something from Velus Jones that we didn't expect by the end of this year. But I would say that you give him a full off season where he is hopefully healthy, we could start to see some different results. And I only say that just because, I mean, he's still, and I've been saying this all year to you guys, he stands out. I mean, his athletic prowess stands out when you see these guys practicing or on the field or sprinting. It definitely stands out with Velus. I can't, just seeing that raw product, I can't call it a bust yet.
Any notes, nuggets that we need to know?
Yeah. Obviously, it should be coming to no shock. Matt Eberflus did say today that there will be more Chase Claypool against Detroit. There'll be more plays for him. You know, and there's a gray area at right tackle, I think. You know, are they going to stick with Riley Reiff? Are they going to reinsert Larry Borum, who was available and on the sideline and ready to play if necessary? And it does make me wonder now, with this change in approach with Justin Fields and letting him loose, does this change the approach at all with the offensive line? And are they just more comfortable with a veteran like Riley Reiff? We'll find out as the week rolls on. And finally, I noticed that Jalen Johnson spent a little time in the injury tent yesterday. He was what I witnessed, because he was right in front of me as he walked into the tent, was him holding his right hip. And even throughout the game, when he would come back to the bench, he was holding that right hip. So if you guys happen to talk to Jalen Johnson at some point in time in the next 24 hours, if you could ask him about his right side, if he's okay.
Okay, we got it. It's on the list. You were doing good reporting from the sideline. Thank you, Grody.
Yep. Bye, guys.
Bears. Man. Valus Jones and Jack Sanborn.
I know.
We got to really pick up this QB1 party again before Jalen Johnson comes on to talk about not covering Jalen Waddle or Tyreek Hill. We got a lot to do, boys. It's Parkinson Spiegel on the Score.
Were the Bears exactly who you thought they were? Because at the third quarter, about the 5-minute 16 mark, you spoke to Justin Fields on the side. It seemed like you said to him to stop running the ball. Did you kind of knew that that's what the game plan was for them going into the game, or?
No, I just wanted them to stop scrambling. And it was pretty irritating because he didn't listen at all. He didn't take the coaching.
That's Mike McDaniel today. Trying to coach the scramble and the running out of Justin Fields. One problem, he plays for the other team.
He didn't take the coaching.
It's fantastic. It's so great. Really enjoy Mike McDaniel. We also really enjoy Jalen Johnson. He said he was excited for the challenge of going up against the number one and number four receivers in the NFL. They got absolutely no pass rush. It was a long day at the office. We'll have an honest discussion with him, because he's always honest, about covering those dudes. Also, his perspective on Justin Fields and the rest of this season with a defense that struggles and a quarterback that's great. Jalen Johnson next on the Score.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.